welcome to episode 100, which...
I feel like we should have done a fanfare then.
I mean, it could be delivered a day late because this is Thursday night and it is supposed to be coming out tomorrow morning. But still, I mean, for us, 2 episodes in 2 weeks, this is big. This is commitment. Yeah, so... thank you so much to everyone who sent things in.
Oh, we've had so many things about what to do for this 100th episode.
Yeah.
So many. Like, I haven't been able to respond to quite a lot of them because I've had so many, like, people's ideas and stuff like that. It's just been brilliant. And a lot of it, we would have struggled to have got together. I know we're bloody tardy asses as it is. But, like, trying to get it together in time would have just been too much. So if you sent something and you felt like we didn't ignore you in any way, we literally just had so much to plow through before recording.
Some of them, like, we might try and do, like, there's been a few where I've thought, oh, that would work as a normal episode. On that theme, I had quite a few, I'm quite surprised, but I had quite a few Henry requests. I mean, be careful what you wish for. So I haven't done anything for this episode solely because Henry would have taken the entire episode. So he will come on probably next episode. I'll try and do something with Henry. He's currently on, because he gets fixated on things, and his current fixation is on coins, just to warn you. So he spends his time...
He's going to be the coin king instead of the tractor king.
He's still... Well, the coins are for the tractor. So he basically looks through old coins, researches them, decides they're definitely worth like 8.2 million. And then he spends hours and hours and hours working out how he's going to spend the 8.2 million.
Buying tractors.
Mm-hmm. Tractors. Millions of tractors. And then if I tell him off because I think that he's spending too much time doing ridiculous things, he says, if you want that lorry, you better let me do this.
And you can't be sure. You can't be 100%. Well, so you're like, okay.
I'm like, I disagree with it, but do I want an Oakley Supreme? Yes, I do. So
there we go, yeah.
So that's a little heads up, Carla, as to what you're going to get next episode, because it's probably going to be you that's interviewing Henry.
Can I leave the podcast again now? is it now that I tell you that I don't want to do this anymore? No, I'm joking, everyone.
Yeah, that would be weird, 100.
One of us telling us it's the last ever episode. Well, thank you for all of your lovely input. We're finished.
We're not doing it anymore. So we are going to have him on, and we will probably do a few of the other ideas just as normal episodes. But this episode is going to be some favourites that we had so many different favourites. These are kind of the ones that were a common theme.
And there was some common ones that ran through and through, but I'm pretty good with this, all right. Can I pick myself up?
I was gonna pick you up, don't worry.
That's okay. You tell me what the people wanted, like what people have said, the most popular ones, and I will go through and I'll find them. And some of them, some people messaged me, and some of them weren't very popular, they were one or two, but I listened back to them. I'm gonna say it now, Katie. We're a pair of funny fuckers. We've had a laugh, haven't we? We have had a laugh on here. So, yeah, it's been brilliant for me, anyway, to revisit them. I've absolutely loved it. But, yeah, there was some that were head and shoulders more popular than the others. Yeah. So that's what we're going to go with tonight.
But you know what I didn't get you to do? My favourite one, which was the Olaplex.
Oh, yeah. You bring it up nearly every episode, anyway.
It is true.
Oh, yeah, get your head on.
I know.
that 4 or 5 aside.
Yeah, that was classic. But our first one was a one that I was the birthing partner for my friend. Who thought that was a good idea to have me as a birthing partner? So this is the first one. I have nominated my friend because I'm a good friend.
Yeah.
So this is my friend who I was the birth partner for.
Oh.
She'll never ask me again.
Was having you as a birth partner, is that what makes having you as a birth partner, is that what makes you a wanker?
Exactly. So we were it was quite early on, and I said to her, like, how are you feeling? And she said, I'm really sore. And I was like, listen, this is nothing. Like, you know, it's gonna be a long day. And she said, I'm really, really sore. And I was like, where? And she said, like, down below. And I was like, I don't know if I remember. But, you know, you can't remember everything. So I was kind of like, okay. And then a bit, like, later she said, honestly, like, I can't bear the pain. It's burning. And I was like, where? And she was like, well, like, down below, but not, like, where the baby's going to come out of, like, further back. And I'm like, that's really strange. She said, I went to the toilet and I used one of those wipes. You know, like,
oh my God,
that you use to clean yourself. And I said, what do you mean? Like, did you bring wipes? And she was like, no, they were in the toilet. And I was like, what?
Oh,
like,
my God,
a Dettol wipe? And she was like, no, they weren't Dettol wipes, they were wipes to wipe yourself. And I said, I don't think they do those. And she was like, they definitely were. And I was like, I think you've sifted your ass, like.
Oh my God.
And she's like, still was adamant, no, she hadn't. And I was like, well, look, all I'm going to say to you is, I think you best go to the toilet and have a look. She came back, she said, you're right, I think it's, I think it's floor cleaner or something.
Oh my God. She was like, what
the hell am I going to do? And I said, well, let's get the wet wipes out from the baby's changing thing, and let's get the nipple cream out, and let's just try and soothe it. Like, so I'm raiding the baby's, like, changing bag and trying to give her all these things. She was like,
oh my God,
because I'm so embarrassed. Obviously, she said it's fine to say this because she's like, at this point, nothing is sacred anymore.
Well, yeah, no anymore. Now she's had a baby. It's standard, isn't it? You just...
Exactly. So, but the midwife's reply was one of my favourite things. So she said, oh, so I've used the wipes in the toilet because I thought that they were, like, you know, for down there. Like, I thought they were special wipes. And the midwife just creased laughing and said, on the NHS. That would never happen.
Do you know what, though? I know what wipes they are. They're probably, like, a different brand, but I know, like, the types because we have them at work. I'm telling you what, she's hardcore.
Oh, she felt the burn, let me tell you that.
Not surprised.
I did cheer her up because I said, anyone who has to go down there, though, you're going to be clean as a whistle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope that the midwife was very appreciative of how extra clean she was.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, she's basically bleached her own, bleached herself. It's like, people pay good money to have their, you know, you can have your anus bleached. She pretty much did that on the NHS.
I mean,
not ideal, but that must be, I can't, we, she's just won it, hasn't she, there?
100%.
Like, my favourite line ever has been you saying to her, you sift your own arsehole. Not really a sort of thing I thought we were going to be saying today, but
there you go.
We've covered it all, really, sifting our souls. As always.
So she's got a baby and a frilly. What more could she want?
Amazing. She's a bit of a ledge, really, for that, isn't she?
She is, because she didn't cry. I mean, she was close, but she kept it together.
I feel like crying for her, to be honest, because I know what those wipes are like. They're bloody brutal. They're absolutely brutal. Goodness me, you're not that near your fairies. A bit like electric fence, isn't it? Oh.
Do you know what frightens me about this? I'd completely forgotten.
Wow.
I had completely forgotten that story. What kind of a life do I have where when my friend bleaches her own arsehole pre-birth, I've told her birth story to so many people. Never once have I even remembered. Yeah?
Insane.
I mean...
Insane. It is crazy, isn't it? Like, listening back to some of this stuff, and I was like... Especially, like, through COVID and stuff like that.
I'm scared really, to listen to the COVID stuff. Yeah, that one, like, that's blown my mind because I was listening to that story, like, enjoying it because I was like, what's going to happen next? Because when people said about siffing an arsehole, I was like, I literally had no recollection of that. That's amazing. But also, it reminded me of all your electric fence fiasco, fencing fiascos. Your fairy has taken a hiding this
one
podcast.
Of the first episodes, one of the first episodes, I twacked my lady bits with electric fence. And I did it with a fence post, didn't I, quite recently. I basically just beat myself up in the nether regions quite frequently.
You're probably due another one, to be honest. We're probably about ready.
I think we'll retire from that. We don't want to give that any more content, if that's okay. I'd be quite happy with never again taking any sort of trauma to my fairy.
I think that's quite disappointing for the pod. I don't think that's the spirit of the episode 100,
I'm
Carla.
I'm sorry about that. just ask me to kick me. Just go on, just for episode 100.
Yes, just go big. Wait till Feathers comes.
Kick me up 100 times. Don't you be saying that Lord Feathers going to do it.
Okay, so our next one is... was a big favourite, was the kazoo playing of your children, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. Now, I didn't forget about this one, but I had forgotten how fucking funny it was, the whole situation. And can we just say, the whole situation was bizarre, because if we all remember rightly, I did a sub-30 dressage.
Yes.
I did a sub-30 dressage this day, and this was just the... pièce de résistance, or whatever they say. This was the cherry on the cake, this hilarious, well, I had forgotten how funny it was, this story.
I'm actually a bit hurt, Carla, that nobody suggested you doing a sub-30 dressage and me jumping 130, to be honest.
I know, right? They went for us, basically, sift arseholes and kazoos over our sporting prowess.
I know. I wonder if they maybe felt that they'd heard that enough, maybe.
I think we might have mentioned it once or twice. Like, no one mentioned me winning £100 either. You know,
selfish.
I just think that I think our sporting prowess has kind of put them off a little bit. They don't want to big up, make our heads any bigger.
No, but I mean, you know, the bigger the head, more room for sparkles on your hat. Think of it like that.
Oscar came with me and I don't know what possessed me, but I let him bring a kazoo.
Because so, why would you not? I mean, why Vince is frightened of children in the trees is beyond me.
That is true. So he had this bloody kazoo. He can only actually play about two tunes on. One of which is the final countdown.
I've just got visions coming from the trees. And Vince being like, oh my God, it's the end.
The end of the world. Anyway, it wasn't to do with the trees. So it was towards the end of the day and there was this port-a-loo. And whilst everyone is washing their hands as if their life depends on it, my son took his kazoo into a port-a-loo with him, and he was in this port-a-loo, and he starts playing, there's nobody else around at this point, he starts playing his kazoo in this port-a-loo just as these two women were walking up this hill. So he's going, this one woman turns to a friend and went, can you hear the they obviously could work out where it was coming from. They were looking up in the sky.
Waiting to be struck by lightning.
Just trying to work out where this music was coming from. And I was just one of those, I was like, do I tell them that it's my son? Or do I let them think they've absolutely lost the plot?
Definitely.
Anyway, I did let them think they'd lost the plot for quite a while. And then I turned around and went, said, I'm really sorry about that. That's my son. He's in the toilet with his kazoo. And then I was like, okay, as he came out of my mouth, I was like, this hasn't done me any favours at all. They were like, oh, okay, then, okay. I bet they were thinking, what a fucking weirdo. What a weirdo.
That's amazing. Like,
that just sums up this podcast so much, doesn't it? Like, the funniest shit.
That was Siri.
Oh, hello.
Siri just joining in.
That was Siri. Siri's joining in as well. Just the funniest shit that happened. And, yeah, that story. I had I obviously remember the kazoo. I remember the day. But I had completely forgotten about how funny it was. And when I was finding that clip, I was actually in my office and I was just sat there just laughing to myself just at the memory. Oh my God, this bloody
kazoo.
It's the
fact that they decided to play that song as well. Like that, it wouldn't have been as good if it was any other song, I don't think. That was just perfect, wasn't it?
I know. It's what she said. It's just when she went, can you hear the final countdown? It's the fact that she knew what the song was as well. Like, she obviously, like, she don't give him enough credit for how good he is at kazoo playing. Because he, you know, she recognised that tune straight away. She recognised it, you know? But I should have maybe cultured that a little bit. You know, he could have gone on the Britain's Got Talent. I don't know. I missed a trick. With his kazoo playing.
Do you feel though, like, because I think everyone who has kids, like, their lives are a bit crazy. But I do feel like, certainly when I got the words in for the podcast, I do feel like our lives seem particularly insane. And I do
very
think
chaotic.
That our children really help the pod, you know?
Oh,
I think
they are the best. They give the best content.
Our lives would be a lot easier with different children. But I mean, how many other children are going to play the final countdown on a kazoo in a portaloo? You know, that's what you've got to ask yourself.
You have a girl, and I can't think there's many. I mean, but after this, when people have seen, you know, people that may be late to the pod, that haven't heard that story before, they're going to say to their kids, I think we should start doing something.
Yeah. Because, or like, when people are at a show and they hear like, do, they'll be like, Oscar?
that song's ruined for lots of people now. That poor woman, she probably is in her sleep. That poor woman is walking up that hill and hearing the final countdown on a kazoo. The most random thing. I'm not even being funny, but a kazoo's quite a hard thing to play.
Yeah,
you basically aren't you? I might ask him for the next episode. Say, I might get him a kazoo and say, for old time's sake, off, give us a blast of the final countdown.
No, do you know what I think you need? As Lord Featherington walks off the box,
I will film that. That has got to happen.
I don't know if the final countdown's the right one. What could you have?
I don't know. We have to remember he's got a very limited repertoire.
He's got time to practice.
I didn't encourage the kazoo playing enough. Maybe I should have gone in and supported his kazoo playing. And then we would have had a wide range of songs. He could have done Bach's Fifth Harmony or whatever.
I don't think that's relevant for Lord Featherington.
Yeah, well.
You know what's coming to my mind? You know that one off Sleeping Beauty? That Hail to the King, Hail to the Queen. Oh.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh my, that's like a savage thing to say. But they've got like a trumpet bit in where it's like do 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 do. I think it'd be good on a kazoo. Give it a whirl.
You get a kazoo. Show us how to play it, and then I'll pass that on to Oscar. Say, darling, this is your next task.
Fuck me. I've got so many things to do. He's 14 now. Or are you saying he's passed his best kazoo wise?
he's through his prime kazoo playing years. Gone. Long gone.
Oh man. Okay. Let's see what the next one is. Our next one is, this was one of my favorites, was Elvis escaping.
Oh my God. And me. And I'd forgotten how good it was again. So I listened to it. So let's just a little bit of background, because we might not be able to. We had a guest on for this week, the fabulous Wayne Garrick. This was a highly, highly requested area. Lots of people said like the whole episode. I was like, nah, just go back and listen to the episode if you want to listen to it again. But this bit in particular, people brought up several times. So we had Wayne Garrick on. And yeah, this was his story of his llama.
Yeah, llama. I was like, is Elvis. It an alpaca or a llama? But it was a llama, wasn't it? Absolutely.
I don't think we pick on the episode. We got to the bottom of that. But this was the story of Elvis.
The man, the legend, Elvis.
Oh, do you know? So this before I talk about him, I will let you know how he came into my life. I went to Alden Horse Trials and I was doing my first two-star with a little mare called Hera, and she was a colossal asshole. he was so much of an asshole that the vet, after my dressage, came to see me because they thought that she might have some lameness issues. And when she stood in the stable, basically looking like a muppet on steroids. And so I jokingly said to someone, do you know what? I'm going to buy a llama so I can be forever reminded of what my dressage test was like. And Elvis. So, bada boom, bada bing. I now have the wasp version of a woolied creature. So alpacas are like bumblebees. They're like really cute and everyone loves them and wants to save them.
I can say that in Welsh.
Llamas. Go on. Why don't you, so distracted. Say bumblebee in Welsh.
Bumblebee.
Oh, with a Welsh accent. It's just the actual Welsh.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to carry you away. Fuck me. I was proud of that.
I was really excited that you were going to be, oh, that's a bumbler bumbler.
Seriously, you need to lower your expectations.
I was going to say, really, Wayne, come on, you need to get with it here. We're like, come on.
So, literally, I was going to be so impressed, like you were going to do the Welsh for microwave, pop to ping.
That is
an eternal disappointment. Ask Ben.
He is just, like I said, he's like the wasp of the woolly kind. He is such a shit. So he's been feral for 2.5 years because his job was to just eat grass and, you know, be a llama. And he had other ideas. He thought, do you know what I really want to do? I want to persecute the person who bought me and saved me from poverty. And I want to walk up to 5 bar gates and just, I don't know, jump over them and fuck off into next door's garden and eat their vegetable patch. Not the lawn, not anything else that's quite edible. I want the vegetables. I want to also stand outside her patio window and stare at her whilst eating her vegetables. And as she opens the patio door, jump back into Wayne's field so that she has no doubt whose fucking llama it is.
Oh my God, I love him. He sounds absolutely amazing, crack.
He is.
On another occasion, he jumped out to my neighbour Jackie's garden. I only knew he got in there because she screamed. No one expects to have an Elvis thrust upon them over a gate. So he then galloped through her garden, jumped over her other gate, and then pissed off across the common because we live on a common because they're posh. Anyway, and then he jumped into my other neighbours. We've got weird neighbours. So Peter is married to Rita and their neighbours are Bruce and Sheila. Like, I'm not shitting you. They're actual
You're making
people.
That up.
No, actual people. Actual, real life Peter and Rita, Bruce and Sheila. And Elvis jumped into Peter and Rita's garden. And I hurdled the gate after him because apparently I was feeling athletic that day. That was before the shin splints kicked in. And he runs around her garden. I'm running after him. I possibly wasn't saying, darling, please come back. It might have been expletives and it might have been 7 o'clock in the morning. But Peter saw me later and he said, wait, were you in our garden with a llama? I said, well, not with, technically. I was chasing him. And he said, well, Rita's bringing up our cup of tea. And she went, Peter, there's a boy and a llama in the garden. So, you know, and at the beginning of lockdown, he thought, you know, that this was the best. Getting quite fat. So what he needs to do is up his step count. And he fucked off for 3 hours with me on Facebook Live, walking after him.
This was like, I was on this Facebook Live. I had loads to do. And I was like, I can't go anywhere. I need to know how this story turns out.
It's like opera.
It really was. It was like the gift that we didn't know we needed at that point, but we needed it so much. And it was just amazing. And it was just beautiful. And I even said to people the next day, see if you can find this Facebook video, guys, because it was just brilliant. And my husband kept going, are you all right? Because I'll be laughing. I said, yeah, Wayne's just trying to find his, well, I'm saying alpaca, we're not sure. I said, Wayne's just trying to find his alpaca. And he's like, okay. And they sort of like backed out of the lounge as I was laughing. So, it was a brilliant, brilliant thing.
So, well, three hours later, he got caught in a barbed wire fence. So I came off Facebook Live, you know, in case he had to die. you know, there's only so much Facebook needs to see. And he's got his foot caught in this barbed wire fence. And I was like, yes, I've got you. And then suddenly realised I've been following this little wanker for 3 hours with no means of catching him.
Oh my God.
I've never caught him in my life. So now I'm faced with Elvis, the rabid llama, with his leg caught in a barbed wire fence, thinking, shit, what do I do? So I pulled the toggle out of my hoodie, wrapped it round his neck, thingied his leg, got dragged across half a field by said toggle. And then he realised that 3 hours of chasing a llama didn't quite get rid of enough lard, and I'm still quite heavy. So he gave in and lay down and wouldn't move.
I absolutely adore him.
You can have him, I should imagine, Kate. You probably drop him off. Be careful.
I've got two questions. Tomorrow morning,
he'll be in your garden.
First one, does he spit?
No. Oh, actually, no, he's never spat at a human until the other day when the man came to peel him.
That, fair enough. Everyone wants to spit a bit then. And
to be fair, he was literally like at the man. It was horrible.
Phlegm.
He was coughing that up from the bowels of his stomach. It was disgusting.
We don't need this. I've been dealing with COVID patients.
What does he speak like?
What does Elvis speak like?
He does speak.
He's French. Elvis is French. I don't know when he became French, but he's always been French. And when he first arrived, I'd walk towards him in the field and he could stomach my existence long enough to not turn around and leave. And it was always like, bonjour, Elvis. And that's him. He's like, bonjour, I'm so happy, jumping on the fences, making you fucking chase me. Look, I jumpy out of the field.
I adore that he had a voice.
I know, and one of the best bits of that for me is the stunned silence when you did Bumblebee in Welsh. We didn't appreciate your talent there, did we?
It was the way I was listening back to it, and I was like, "What the fuck am I talking about?" Like, why would you say Bumblebee in Welsh? I can't say Bumblebee in
There is another clip where it is earlier on. And it does become apparent.
Oh right,
We have been talking about something, and you say Bumblebee in Welsh, and so that's where it came from.
Okay, because I was like, what That was the most fucking random thing ever.
It was random when you listened to it just with Wayne, but there was a reason for it that you would say it.
All right.
Do you
okay.
remember when we used to go through phases of me talking really badly in accents?
Yes. You, that's not a phase. That's like part of the pod. That's, you know, standard.
So yeah, and there was and I think that was where it was from.
All right, okay. That makes me feel better because I was like, had I been hit on the head? I mean, I didn't even have booty either.
No, there was there was a reason for it. There was a reason.
Which actually reminds me, we're not doing news or anything this episode. We don't want to spoil you. But when he said he was really pleased when it got its foot caught in the barbed wire, so Bougie got seen by the physio just for his, like, routine. And it didn't really occur to me that he would be sore and that would be why he was kept throwing me off. Because, you know, when you've got one that's really naughty and when you've changed things, you're like, that's where your brain would automatically go to. Whereas, say, if Pan started bucking, I'd be like, there's something wrong. With Bougie, I'm like, well, he's just a cock. So, you know, it's that. But anyway, the physio said he is really, really sore. He must have slipped because of how he's sore. And I said, oh, that's the best news ever. And she like looked at me and I said, honestly, I cannot tell you how pleased I am to hear that.
Yeah, but there is a reason for it. It's not just evil. Yeah,
I mean, we haven't proved that yet. You know, and he could still.
I mean, there's every chance that he will. Yeah. A little bit at the hopes he will be, but yeah. Definitely.
When I was listening to that back, I don't know why, but in my head, I remembered that he'd caught him in what I thought with a hoodie. And I just had visions of the llama, like, being put in the hoodie with the hood up and then, like, being led by the sleeves.
I mean, it could work, I'm guessing.
I think it would have looked a lot better than the toggle.
I think it probably, but then Wayne would have been topless. So,
but I mean, Facebook Live, you know.
Yeah, can you imagine a topless camp man dragging a llama in a hoodie? The guy's, I think his neighbours already think at this point he's absolutely batty. He'd probably have the police waiting for him. They'd be like, this is just a step too far, man.
They'd be like, OnlyFans has taken a really strange turn.
Yeah. the weirdest OnlyFans ever. Definitely.
I feel a little bit like that's maybe what possessed us to get Albert the Goat. But really, I mean, he's a poor man's Elvis.
Poor man's Elvis, yeah. To be fair, though, it's a brave person to take on Elvis. Brave person.
I feel like I would have a lot more fun with a llama.
I don't know, a fun / torture. It depends what, I mean, if that's your idea of fun, then you're weird. Because I don't know if that's where I want to go. To be fair, I've got Vince.
You've basically got an equine llama, yeah.
I've basically got an equine Elvis. So do I need another thing like to just chase around the countryside? Absolutely not.
Imagine.
Let's just stick with the one.
Vince and the llama would be like, are you picking where we're going today or shall I?
Oh, God, you know, can you imagine? Just packing their little llama bag. Yeah. Like, moving them off. Off we go, another adventure.
Feathers cantering along behind.
Get on the plane. Come on, go to Ibiza. Doesn't even bear thinking about Vince with his sombrero on. All ready to go. He'd have one of them knotted handkerchiefs, like what you see in the olden days. Be like that. Little trousers rolled up to 3/4, ready to have a paddle in the sea.
Oh. Right. So our next one is, this one. I totally forgotten about this one. And this one was so, so requested. The Oakley toilet.
I did remember this one, and I was just like trying to block it out of my memory. So I had gone, we'll give you the background if you don't remember it. I had gone, we'd set over COVID, hadn't we? We said we were going to do all these fun stuff with our horse. And one of the things I said I was going to do was go to the beach. And I went to the beach. I met my friend. My friend was up for it. And they rock up and they have got a lovely Oakley horse box. And they go and meet me at the beach. I have got a little 3.5 ton. And this
at
is the story
time, it wasn't even your sparkly 3.5 ton, was it?
It was my sparkly. I bought my sparkly the week before everything went into lockdown.
What was the other one called?
Vernon.
That's it.
So Vernon the Volkswagen, my really slow horse box, and then I got rid of him. Well, he died a death. And I got the sparkly. And then the week after I got sparkly, the world went into lockdown.
That's so crazy, isn't it, when you like you think of that. Are you still friends with the Oakley owner, or has she does she keep you at arm's length?
I'm very good friends with them, but I will be honest, I've never asked to use the toilet again.
No.
And we'll see why.
Oh, this is really embarrassing. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm just going to do it. So obviously this morning I got up very early. I was working late last night. Didn't have very much sleep. I was really, really tired. And I thought, do you know what I need? I need a nice, strong coffee. So I had a really strong coffee before we set off. And I get to where we're going. I got to where we were meeting my friends. And obviously I've got a little 3.5 ton lorry. I don't have any living. And they've got a lovely Oakley. That's got a nice bathroom and everything in it. So we get there and I'm absolutely bursting for a wee. And I said, can I use your toilet, please? I just need a wee. And she was like, yeah, of course you can. Oh, I went in.
I'm so nervous as to where this is going.
It was a surprise poo. It was a surprise poo. I didn't know it was happening. Before I sat down, I had no inclination I wanted a poo. I sat down, I needed a poo. And
in an Oakley.
A poo came. In an Oakley, my friend's Oakley. I had a poo. I couldn't stop it, okay? I was committed. So anyway, I had the poo. I pressed the button to make the poo flush away. It wouldn't flush. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I'm kind of getting a bit hot even just telling this story. So I had to go outside to my friend and say, look, I'm really sorry. I've done a poo. I've done a poo in your toilet. I can't get it to flush. Oh, my God, I'm sweating. I'm so sweating even telling the story. Why am I even telling people that I did this? So, of course, I mean, luckily. So she was like, oh, it's okay. It will just be the valve. So she had to, like, talk. So I went in and I tried to move this valve. I couldn't get the valve to open. So in the end, we had to open the door. So I'd done a poo and, like, I'm human. They don't smell that good. I couldn't get this valve to open. We had to open the doors. She had to stand outside and guide me through opening this valve so I could wash this poo away. So I did it was a surprise poo. I swear down, guys, if I'd known, I would have rather gone behind a tree than use my friend's Oakley toilet to do that. It came from nowhere. You need to. As my husband said about this sort of thing, you always shit on shore. So there's a rule with horse. I did not know this because I've never had a horse box with the toilet. Horse boxes, boats, if you're ever on those, even though they have a bathroom, you don't ever poo in them. You wait until you can get to a toilet where you can poo in it.
Henry poos in ours all the time, let me tell you. You can guarantee as soon as we're set off, Henry says, I need a poo. And I'm like, oh, for the love of Christ. Every damn...
This is the worst of it now. My friend's husband has got to now clean that toilet, hasn't he?
Yeah.
With the surprise pooing.
But that blue stuff makes it all, like, be okay.
It was quite a large one.
Oh my God.
I thought I blocked it for ages. I surprise poo. I think I blocked your toilet. She's like, oh no, because I thought you were just having a wee, I haven't turned the valves. What the fuck? So I had to, anyway, so me and Henry, high five to Henry, pooing on the horse box, gang, my fellow bro over there. Oh my God. I was really embarrassed. My bowels, they betrayed me.
I think it was the excitement.
A very bad moment.
It was the excitement of the beach, wasn't it? It was all too much.
And the strong coffee to keep myself awake.
You should have just said to it, it's the beach, it's the excitement. I didn't know it was coming, and then here it is.
I literally didn't.
So that's the last time you're allowed to hear Oakley.
I will tell, like, if I ever say to her, I can I just have a wee? She's going to go, oh, the toilet's broken. I'm sorry, you can't go in there.
100%. Because... Right. I had absolutely forgotten how bad that story was.
I am... Why did I feel the need to share that with our listeners? I'm so glad they enjoyed it, I think. But, yeah.
I was listening to that story. I was so invested and I was like, oh, my God, this is bad. And then, oh, my God, it's got worse. Oh, my God, it's got worse again. Oh, my God, it's got worse again.
And just didn't stop, did it? Just get a gift that kept on giving, literally.
I love how my little thing at the end was like, it's okay, like the blue stuff makes everything better.
Yeah. And then I have to comment on the size of it. Like I haven't humiliated myself enough on this podcast. I decided to go all in.
You said that with pride, Carla. You were proud of it.
I can assure you now, there was not an inch of pride left in me after that scenario. Not a single inch.
But you
I'm
know,
surprised I was able to make eye contact with them ever again.
This is what I love, is like, because these things happen to all of us. I mean, not quite, probably.
I don't know how many people have done a poo they can't get rid of in their mate's Oakley toilet.
But I just think it's the sort of thing that people don't talk about, and then you feel that it's only you. But did I tell you, after you told that story, did I tell you the story about my auntie?
No.
Oh, see, this will make you feel better. This is a little bonus. So my auntie, she's really funny. When she was like, I think sort of early 20s, and I wonder if I should, I'll say it anyway. So her husband's like a barrister. So the sort of circles they were mixing in, they were like, you know, quite bougie and like, so she was going to this ball at a friend's house, I think, like a big country house. And she was in like a ball gown and she went to the toilet and did a poo and couldn't flush it. And obviously because it was like, there was a lot of people at a house, there was like a queue for the toilet. So she didn't want the next person to realise that it was her poo. So, I mean, what do you think, what would your solution there be, Carla?
To be fair, given my history, I'd own it. I'd open the door, go, yeah, I've just done a poo. I can't flush it. Because we all poo.
Well, that's not what she did.
Oh.
So in her ball gown, she reached into the toilet.
Oh my God, no, stop.
She fished the poo out and she proceeded.
I can't, no. She put it down the plug hole. She put it down the plug hole. She put it down the plug hole. She forced a shit down the plug hole. She's nodding, people. I'm not just like throwing this out there. She's just lost it slightly. How is that any better than leaving a turd in the toilet? She panicked. Kate's choking now. No, it's okay.
But what's just so funny is that this is like a story that regularly comes out at like family things. I'm like, well, remember when? Remember when she?
Why did she tell? And then she told people.
Oh yeah, she told lots of people. But I think the thing that she always, I think, must really feel is integral to the story. Is that she was in the ball gown.
The ball gown.
Yeah. I mean...
One day, I won't do it today because we've got quite a few to go through. Remind me to tell you the story of the time on a night shift. Unless I have already told it. No, I don't think I have. The story on where I changed the whole running, how the whole hospital ran at night because of my bowels.
Was that when you ate all the satsumas?
No.
Was it when you took the laxatives?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, oh. I saw that one then, yeah.
I was thinking how many poo stories. We're starting to get quite a catalogue, actually, Carla, of your poo stories.
Problem. Have you considered you might have IBS?
So, I think really your Oakley toilet is not quite as bad.
It's not as bad as that. I mean, I didn't fish it out and then shove it down the plug hole.
What she should have done, if she was going to fish it. Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Or wrap it up. I think I'm getting distracted here.
Yeah, let's move on from
what. Like, wrap it up and put it in the bin, even.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Better than the sink.
Well, it is.
Because it's got all up your nails.
Stone shop. That is gross.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on. Okay.
Let's move on to the next one.
So the next one, this one, again, was mentioned by quite a lot of people. And I think it was kind of linked to a lot of your fairy fiascos. But this one is from a listener. I probably would have wanted to be anonymous, but she's brave. Okay, so this is from the 900 Facebook Pony. This was a long time ago.
Oh, I love this girl. Oh, she's brilliant on Instagram, Facebook. Oh, I love this girl. Yeah, go.
This was a long time ago now. So the physical and emotional scars have healed enough to where I can actually talk about it. Now it's funny. Then it most certainly was not. See, what had happened was I was riding this little sail pony on a hack around the neighbourhood where I lived at the time. She was very calm and easy, so I was just holding my reins on the buckle with one hand and talking to my friend, not really paying much attention. Right around the farthest point from home, just before we turned around to head back, the pony stumbled, pulling the reins out of my hands. In that split second, she also managed to put a foot through the reins, so I immediately went to jump off to sort them out. However, in my haste to jump off the horse, I must have gotten a little bit jumbled up because the stirrup leather and iron managed to get caught between my legs as I was on the way down. So I slid down the stirrup leather like a fireman down a pole. And when I hit the stirrup, boom.
Oh!
I know. Honest to God, I read this.
Did you hear that echo when I screamed then?
And I was like, shit.
That has made me cross my legs.
I know. It actually was one of those where it makes you wince. So she said, I got punched right in the lady bits with a chunk of metal. All of my weight came down on that stirrup. So you can imagine it was quite the wallop. It definitely registered in my mind as an ow, but I was preoccupied. Oh! With getting the reins sorted. I then quickly jumped back on the pony. As we started...
I was preoccupied. She's basically just nutted herself in the van. She's always preoccupied by my broken reins. Girl, she's hardcore. Like, oh my God.
So then she said, anyway, as we turned around to start riding back, the pain started to register more. Finally,
oh my God.
I peeked down at my crotch and I saw blood. A lot of blood.
Oh,
coming
my
through
God.
My pants and starting to pool on my saddle. I have to, at this point, I did worry about the saddle, which is wrong, but I did.
Yeah.
So we trotted quickly home. I pulled the tack off the pony and ran inside to the bathroom. What I found was so horrific that I am not even sure I can describe it. It was like I had been crotch punched by Edward Scissorhands.
Oh my God. Did it look like a punched lasagna?
She said, if you you've ever seen what happens to a boxer when they get punched really hard directly in the lips, well, that's exactly what happened.
Oh my God.
She said,
oh, to be honest, that's a mental picture I don't want, love.
Oh, it's graphic. Ooh. You understand. I feel that's really, really clear at getting the message across.
She's got away with words. I'll give her that. She's got away with words. She's very descriptive. She should write something, I don't know what, but not yet. Oh my God.
She said, there were bleeding cuts and bruising so bad that it was literally already dark purple. It took almost a week to heal enough to where I could shower or pee without howling in pain. Honestly, that might have been the exact moment when I swore off childbirth forever. That was more painful than any bone I have ever broken. But you can bet that I learned my lesson. And these days, I make sure that I am very clear of the stirrup, leather and iron before I dismount, even if I'm in a hurry, because nobody wants a busted vagina. Oh, they don't. I'm not going to disagree
with
you there.
No one wants a busted vagina. I think we should maybe have that on T-shirts. Nobody wants a busted vagina.
Because
and
who,
I'm
if
with
we
you, girl,
walked around with a T-shirt that said no one wants a busted vagina, who is going to disagree with that T-shirt?
No one's going to argue with that. No one. It's not going to be like Black Lives Matter when everyone's giving it all their interpretation. No one wants a busted vagina. People be coming up to you. People come up to you, go fist bumping you. I'm with you, girlfriend. I don't want a busted vagina either. Like, oh my God.
That story is
crucial. To be fair, it took me places I didn't really want to go, if I'm honest with you.
I wonder how long it was before she got back on a horse.
Oh, she's a horse rider. She got on the next day.
I mean,
in agony, but I need to ride because he needs to have his schooling session this week. It's on the whiteboard.
I'd go through a lot. But if my fairy was in tatters, I don't know if I could sit on a saddle. There'd be a lot of rising trot.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us, when did you start riding again? We're quite emotionally invested into this.
Yeah, we are. We're probably going to need more details. I mean, details.
No, we don't need any more details.
No more details. That was definitely the wrong word. No more details. Just, we're curious to know, did you have to sit on frozen peas?
Do you know the other thing that just popped into my head is the fact that there was probably a moment as she was sliding down the stirrup leather, she thought, this is a really good way to dismount. I should just...
Whee! Why do people not do this all the time?
And then I slam, see. Like, yeah. Oh, that's why.
It was when she said she started to slide down, you know, for a second, you're kind of like, where's this going? But then, even like as I was reading,
there's only
it, I was
one
like,
place it can go.
Well, she's going to hit the stirrup. Like, this isn't going to end well.
Oh my God. It's like something out of a horror film. You could probably write that as that would be like a horse owner's horror film, that.
Yeah, that would.
Isn't it?
That was visceral.
Still wince at that, I do. Yeah. Still wince. I hope her for JJ is all right.
When I listened back that time, I was like, how did she do that?
I don't know.
But I don't want to. I don't want to.
I don't want a description from her either because I think I was a bit traumatized.
Well, I don't want to be like, how the fuck do you know then tomorrow I'm going to be like Carla? I've already fucking gone and done it.
I've managed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like.
Take one for the team.
I just like physics. I think, how did that happen?
I don't want to think about it. Can we move on to the next one? I feel like I might need some fresh air.
Yeah, that one. I love though that you're like, it's not like Black Lives Matter T-shirt. You know, everybody could get on board with that T-shirt.
No.
There'd be some like white middle-aged tall man who'd be like, all vaginas don't matter.
Yeah, no.
Okay, we're gonna move swiftly on because Carla looks very pale.
I'm all right.
So this episode is the return of you.
It was, and I talked for ages. So finding the bits. So this was a really popular one, which was really sweet. That people were really happy that I came back. Thank you.
And yeah, there was a few suggestions for this episode, like different bits of this episode, wasn't there?
Yeah. So we had taken the most popular, there's a couple of bits from it, I think, taken the most popular requested sort of sections from the bits from that episode. Starting with the poodle or Ben.
Oh, and this is the one, because this is episode 64, Just Stay On. So this is the one where we get the stay on story as well. This was a good episode.
Yeah, but we, yeah, and
we've got, there at 11:30.
Sorry, go.
But yeah, that was requested. But then this bit and the second bit were the most heavily requested. So I went with the popularity vote. Here we go.
We were so late. So we got down there at 11:30 and found the stables locked up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was great. So Ben, I had Seb asleep. I was holding Seb asleep. And Ben said, where do you want me to put the horses? Like, the stables are locked. So I was saying to him, just use Carla's stables. And he wouldn't. And anyway, so we went, argued back and forth. He comes back and I said, how have you put the horses away? And he said, I guessed the code on the combination.
What the hell?
And you know, you're like, I was like, is no. Like,
how?
Well,
I can't even remember the passcode from my phone sometimes.
I was just like, what? So he said, well, it was 10. And I thought, it's probably going to be 1066. And it was. What even is that?
What? Why would that number come into your head? Why would you think, oh, it's 10? I would have thought 11.
He's some sort of like...
1066?
Yeah. I think he's working for MI5. I don't think he's a farrier.
I was going to say, like, is it... Do you know what you need to do? You need to set up some laser beams around your house, right? I'm sure that would be quite easy to knock up. And then call him when he comes in, and then see his reaction. Yeah. Film his reaction.
If he just drops to the floor and starts like...
Exactly, you'd be like, hang on.
Yeah.
It's 007. I've married 007.
Yeah. I mean...
Ask him outright. Are you a spy?
Yeah. Yes.
Ben, are you a spy?
And if he says no, I mean, I'll shove bamboo up his fingernails, shine a light in his eye, and see if he resists 100%. Interrogation.
I mean, to be fair, if you ask someone as a spy and they say no, that's exactly what a spy would say.
Exactly. That's why.
Otherwise, they'd be a shit spy.
I'll have to up the ante. Once I've waterboarded him for 2 days, you know.
set up the laser beams, waterboard him. Maybe get some sharks.
Yeah.
You know, and then lower him really slowly. Are you a spy? How did you work out? Because 1066 isn't where I'd go with that number. No, so, that's crazy.
But that's life, isn't it? Like, you know, I look at other people and I think, do you live like I do? And I don't think they do.
No, I can pretty much guarantee that. I can't think there's many. I can't think there's many that are married to number one, a spy. And number two, have to get someone to jump them to get home.
Yeah, I wish the government paid him better, because then at least we'd have some, like, but I'm guessing they need to keep it, you know, legit looking.
Yeah, this is where you'll find out in a couple of years. You'll find a secret garage. It's Aston Martin in it.
Yeah, I'm down for that, to be fair. I'm down for that.
The more we're talking about it, the more I'm convinced to myself it's the truth. That's the problem here. I'll probably go out to my husband and go, how's things? I'll go, yeah, by the way, Katie's Ben is a spy.
Who knew?
Okay, all right then. Yeah,
do you know the first thing? The first thing I would say would be like, but you are still going to shoe for me for free, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. Get your priorities right. I totally agree. I'm going to go and I'll fight for Queen and country and do my service, but... I need a full set with stud holes before you go. Can we just quantify that, please?
Yeah, I don't need to waterboard him, really. I just need to get him to put stud holes in. It's kind of the same.
Oh,
just torture for them. Or like, and do you know what you should do to really piss them off? And I did this to my farrier, and I did it just to wind her up a bit. I said, so if I wanted those copper nails, could I have them? And that she looked at me with that look on her face. I thought, oh, I've overstepped the mark here. I think she's going to come for me. And I did mean it as a joke, but she was just like, you know, so obviously it's not a joke that you make to the farrier. So when he's annoying you, if he ever does anything to annoy you, which,
so often,
you know, he's a husband, so he's yeah. breathing. So like, just start Googling copper nails or something like that and leaving the tabs open where you can see it.
Yeah, he hates when I like suggest anything.
That is a spy.
I'd forgotten that story as well.
Oh my! Have you got memory problems?
I'm starting to think I fucking have, because that is
rocking it all out.
That is mental that he did that. And do you know the first thing that it made me think of? I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the podcast, but it's something that I say to Ben regularly, because basically that is very representative of Ben's life. Like, and so I say to him all the time, not everybody's got blonde curly hair, Ben, because I just think he can cruise through life in a way that other people just fucking can't, and it really fucks me off. Like,
you can't lean against a door, Ben.
That is true. The other day, I was leaning on the door, just leaning on it, and Ben went, oh, are you trying to turn me on? I don't know if I told the story on the podcast about when we hadn't got the passport and then we hadn't got the birth certificate, and it was basically the biggest fucking shambles ever.
Yeah, you did.
And Ben was like, it'll be fine. And I'm like, it won't. And it was.
Yeah.
And like, nobody else could guess a code. Like, I don't know how. The only explanation is he's a spy. He could get official documents.
He has to be a spy. There's no two ways about it. We can't keep covering for him anymore, Katie.
No.
We can't. We've got to put it out there to the listeners and stuff. He's a spy. You can't protect him any longer.
He's very forgetful. I mean, it could be a cover, but
That's a cover.
I just want to alert the British government.
He's probably got actually a photographic memory.
Maybe.
But he pretends to be forgetful to throw you off. Because you're obviously onto him.
Does have a photographic memory. I wouldn't mind him occasionally using it for useful purposes in the house.
Just once or twice.
Just occasionally. And if not, I feel it's only fair to warn the British government that he could be getting all kinds of information that we need for the country's safety. And probably by the time he's got on the aeroplane and it hasn't even left the runway, he will have immediately forgotten it.
Yeah, that's just being the man, though, isn't it? They're very, very forgetful.
But yeah, I do. And I could hear baby Seb crying in the background as well. I think that show was possibly, was that the show where like Seb was like 6 weeks old or something and I fell off just after having a section and the doctor told me off and I had like a head injury?
I can't remember that.
Maybe it was the one after that. Okay, so this is same episode. It features Bougie. I mean, Bougie had to feature, didn't he?
But Bougie is basically a staple now of the podcast. And this was also Ben again.
So it's Ben, the spy. So Bougie has come, well, Bougie came back into work. And I think I talked about it on the last episode and I was really excited. He's back out of work because he's getting wolf teeth. Fucking selfish bastard. So anyway.
Absolutely.
In the very brief period, and I think we're talking like 2 weeks, where Bougie came back into work. So I did all the like long rain and getting him going again. And then I said to Ben, like, okay, I'm going to get on him for the first time. Will you come and watch me? Because he's a good boy, but like he's sharp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, I need you there just in case it tries to level me. Ben said, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is like quite unusual. There's never really two of us around. Like, it was a big deal for Ben to come out and watch me get on, right? So I'm doing the whole, you know, put my foot in the stirrup, take it back out of the stirrup. At one point, I'm like, you just got to commit and like see what's going to happen.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So I get on, all good. He stands still. I was like, good boy, good boy. Ben staring at me. Like, so I'm walking around. Ben's looking at me walking around. Bougie's been really good. We'll do about 10 steps. And Ben, who's so busy looking at me, hasn't realised there's a jump in front of him, walks into the jump, knocks the whole jump down.
Oh, no.
Like, level with Bougie, who leaps off all 4 feet in the air and bronks.
Fair enough.
And then he did that thing, you know, where they go to about 25 hands and their back is, like, oh, rounded.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he's going to level me.
This is
like,
the day I die.
Yeah.
This is the day I die. You're just committed to it now.
Yeah. And I was like, like, walk, but maybe don't walk. You know, like,
just shuffle yeah. forward, just slide your foot forward a little bit. I'll come back from it a second time.
And he's like, Bougie's like, I daren't walk on because last time I did, the world fell at my feet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, and you get to like, I'm going to have to apply a bit of leg. So I was like,
yeah, I'm going to have to do.
Like, willing him forward with just hope.
Just basically manifesting,
yeah,
manifesting
exactly.
A nice walk forward.
Sending yeah, good yeah, thoughts yeah. for a forward movement. While holding on to the neck strap. So eventually, well, after like...
Ask another question at this point.
Yeah.
Where, what's Ben doing at this stage? He has oh got up God. Off the floor.
Carla, if you had seen his face, he was like... I mean, in spy training, I bet he's never been that frightened. Like...
he would rather be hung over a pond of sharks, I reckon.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I just like when we eventually like got moving forward, and
yeah.
I just looked at him and said, "You were supposed to be here to make this fucking situation better." And he was like, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry."
Oh,
my heart, you know, oh. In your heart, my heart was like, yes. My legs were like jelly. I got up, pushing, like, wibbled away.
Just fell to the floor.
Yeah.
The relief mass. I survived.
So, yeah, so that was our first ride back on Bouge.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it.
More than me, for sure.
I can imagine. Oh,
oh Bouge.
I hadn't forgotten that one.
No. And I still laugh about it now. I still laugh about your little... I still laugh about it. And it is just a glorious moment. Bougie provides us with a lot of content.
He does.
If Bougie could play a kazoo, we wouldn't have been needed on this podcast anymore. We could just... He'd make millions.
It's that feeling, isn't it, as a rider, that like I have to do something, but everything yeah. in me is like, don't do it,
especially knowing what you know, what he's like,
yeah,
you know, like how sharp he is and stuff like that. But
I know yeah. when I heard that and I was like, you know, he's a good boy, I was thinking, was he? That's not how I describe him. Would I call him a lot of things, but not that.
Just come back to the podcast. You were still trying to be nice about him. You were like, you didn't want me to go away again. So you were like, I'll say my horse is nice.
Yes.
I won't let on that he's an arsehole yet. I'll wait until she's committed a bit more.
Oh, man. I mean, he still does stuff like that, like, constantly. You know, you'll be, like, riding one and he suddenly just, like, appears or, like, you know, drops something next to you. The amount of times he's picked up a pole and thrown it, like, as the horse is walking away and the horse is like, what the fuck?
I know. It doesn't matter. Like, then they'll knock a pole, like, when they're jumping and stuff and not react at all. Someone throws a pole down.
Yeah.
And it's like, a bomb's gone off. They absolutely, Vince will flip every single time.
I nearly fell off Mint the other day. I think did I tell you that? He spooked something that wasn't, I don't know if I did actually. This is obviously not BHS. I was putting my AirPods back in the case while I was cooling him off. And he's always been, he's a little shit. He's a bit of a bad one for spooking anyway, but he's the worst when you're cooling him off. That's when, if he's going to get you, he'll often get you. So anyway, he was on the buckle, but I wasn't even really holding the buckle. I was putting my AirPods back in the case and he spooked and he just took off. And you know, when you feel like you're going to do a backwards roll, and Ben happened to be there because I'd been jumping and I was just like, grab him, grab him, grab him. You know, I couldn't like gather all the things that.
I didn't want to put your AirPods down. That would have been a fucking disaster. So.
Exactly. I was holding on to the important things. Ben was pissing himself because he was like, I thought for sure you're doing a backwards roll there. But yeah, when like that time with Bougie, he didn't know whether to grab him or not. And there's that, isn't there? Like, you don't know. Like, I've been in that position where someone's like, it's all going wrong. And you're like, if I grab it, am I going to make it worse? Like, so you just, frozen stand of like,
frozen.
This is going to end badly for you, I think. But what can I do?
Yeah, 100%. Oh, God. What a nightmare. Poor Ben.
I know.
Just trying to help.
Yeah, well. Okay, this one, I'm a bit scared to hear. Was this one bad? This is retiring money. Will I cry?
Lots of people requested it. I have cut a little bit out of this one. I cut a little bit out of me waffling in the middle just to keep to the story. Yeah, lots of people just requested it. I think the way you spoke, I know one person said it was just so nice to hear somebody 100% doing something just for the best interest of their horse. So many times, you know, you see people and they're like, we'll give this one more go, we'll do this. Well, you were just so adamant he was retired. So you might cry. If you do, I'll tell everybody.
Okay.
Don't worry. You can count on me.
Thanks. So that was the good news. The bad news of the show was Manny jumped double clear on the first day in the newcomers, but I felt that he was really, really tired. So we thought the journey had taken it out of him. We gave him, we bought him like a recovery gel and, you know, all this stuff from the show. Like, why not waste more money? And then got on him the next day and he just maybe didn't give me the best feeling in trot, but I've talked about this on the podcast before. I am so ridiculous with Manny. I'm always like, is he sound? Is he sound? So I was like, oh, come on, Kate, you're just being wet. And then I asked him to canter and he felt absolutely fine, jumped in the warm-up fine. I brought him back to trot and trotted him up and down. I was like, no, he's definitely sound. Took him in the ring and he jumped. I think he maybe had one or maybe two down. But he's adding in the distances. He added in the distances the day before. And I'm not talking about like putting seven strides in a six stride. I'm talking about putting like three strides at a two stride distance. And he's a 17 hand horse. And that was with me riding him as hard, you know, through the distance as I could. Like, and I don't know, just if you look at, as I have, like looked at all the photos, all the videos, his ears are forward the whole time. But there's just some, I don't know what it was. I felt like he was struggling and he just wasn't I don't know. I can't even tell. I couldn't tell you what it is.
No.
And I came out the ring on the, so that was the second day. And Carla said to me, he's limited. And I said, no, he's done. And she was like, yeah. And so then I obviously started to cry and took him back to the stable. And everyone just left me alone, which was really nice. And I had a cry. And then I talked it through with her later. And she said, like, he would never say no. He would never stop for you. He would go on and on. But you'd break his heart.
Yeah.
And I just said to her, like, I've always said I owe him everything.
Yeah.
And he owes me nothing. And it's just, there's something that's telling me that's enough. And she said he's really enjoying jumping on the grass, like at the county, he jumped his socks off. She's like, but on surfaces he's not happy. And then, like, for it's a minute,
often a lot of the time with horses that are feeling themselves, if they've got a niggle or whatever, it's usually the other way around.
So it wasn't usually with Minnie. Minnie was crippled with navicular, although she wasn't that lame. She should have been for the damage that was done. And she was 100% sound if you trotted her on a hard surface. But she was good. She was lame. Ben said he sees it quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said that they think the new theory is that the movement in the surface is like they jars the joints.
Right.
So, yeah, I said, like, then I kind of did this, like, well, maybe I keep him for this summer and I do the county shows on him because he loves the big county rings. And if he's happy, jump. And then I just thought to myself, like, what am I doing? If he's not sound on a surface, he's not sound to jump. Like,
the awful thing to say is, and I love to hear you saying that, because my biggest bugbear is when they say they're not sound on, they're not sound on the grass, but they're sound on the surface. No, if they're not sound on grass, they're not sound.
I don't know. Maybe we would have taken him cross-country schooling somewhere, literally just for him, because he loves it so much. But for me, like, as a competition horse, he is absolutely, he is done. He has worked his whole life for everyone that's had him. He has given them his all. And do you know, as well, it's really weird. And I think there's no, like, rational way to explain why I think things like this, but I don't think he's sad to retire. Whereas I think if you retired him 5 years ago, I think he would have been. I think he's ready.
Yeah. I always think that I think they tell you, and I think if you listen, you can always hear it. You know, like, I know Vince hasn't gone out and done a lot yet, but he is not ready to retire. I mean, he's only 16, but he's, you know, he is 100% not ready to retire. He's going to carry on doing stuff. He's going to carry on fun. He'll go back to eventing. He'll go back. We've just having a couple of quiet years for various reasons. But I do believe they do know. Like Chance, when Chance was 16, he's my old boy now that's 29. And he went, he had like a little period of lameness, and then we got him sound again. And then I took him to a show. And a little bit like you, I just suddenly thought, he's ready. He doesn't need to do this anymore.
I mean, I'll put some pictures on, because we're going to buy them, which we never do, but we are going to buy them. He is jumping top of the wings. So he's in a 110 class and he's probably jumping 150. I said to Ben, I look at that picture, Ben, and I could cry. Like, his technique's perfect. And Ben said, yeah, but a picture is a snapshot. And he is jumping 150 because he has put himself into the bottom of the fence.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. He's getting, like, under the fences. And Ben said it's almost like he kind of hesitates before he takes off. And, like, almost second guesses, but he would never stop because it's just not in his nature to do that to you. So that's good because he's 16. I haven't cried. So that's good. But yeah, that's my news.
You got a nice retired horse to enjoy for lots of years still. Still going to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Won't get to take him to shows, but you've got Mint and Bougie coming up. You've got exciting times there. You've still got Pan.
I know. I think it was, you know what did it? It was not... little things like I took a photo of them with their heads over the door because I was like, he's never going to come to a show with us again. And it's things like that that like I put his tail bandage on and I was like, will I put a tail bandage on you again? It's things like that where like,
it was... Well, I'm sure you'll find other things to do with him. I think, you know, and also you got to remember as well, even at 16, I know it sounds like, even at 16, time is a great healer and stuff. You know, not necessarily show jumping again, because show jumping, particularly the big classes like what you do, puts huge stresses on their body. But there's going to be other stuff that you're going to be able to do and enjoy with him. You could also, bear in mind, you've got a great remedial shoe, Farrier. I'm sure Ben will be able to do something if need be with it.
Already got, that's the ready pads, filler. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's partly why as well, I feel like, look, we've done as much as I'm happy to do. I'm not, you know, there's certain things I will not do to keep a horse jumping. And for me, like, you know, we've given you what you needed. If you're not happy and like, comfortable doing the job you've done. But
are you all right?
I am. I didn't cry again. That was good. Because I was a bit scared to hear that, to be fair. Yeah. Do you know what? Like, it was the right call. I've never regretted.
Never doubted that, though.
I've never regretted the call I made. Every so often, I look at him in the stable, or I look at his jumping bridle that I still haven't packed away because I can't bear to. And I'm like, oh God, I would just give anything to jump around on that horse again because he was mega. But then I'm like, I wouldn't give anything to jump around where I feel like he's struggling. Because
I saw a lovely comment on something the other day, which is nostalgia is a sign that you are living your life well. And I just think that looking back on something so fondly means that it was obviously a really great thing. So,
oh, that's a really nice quote.
Yeah. So there we go. You know now that the reason you miss it so much was because it was great and it was wonderful.
Yeah. And like,
best lift to move.
he's really happy.
Yeah.
So I didn't think, I was very worried about how long a retirement he was going to get. Because like the physio and everything's always said that his muscle is kind of what enables him to cope because of how bad his conformation is and stuff in his back. But he'd stopped rolling in the stable. So when we bought him, he didn't roll in the stable. And then when we started to get his back injected, even though they couldn't kind of work it all out, we found that if we injected around his SI joint and like his general lower back area, he was really happy and he would roll in the stable. And then when it would wear off, he would stop rolling in the stable. And he hasn't had his back injected and he started rolling in the stable again.
So you know that's definitely the right thing then, isn't
it? Yeah. So I'm really happy because I thought he would have got worse, but he's got better. And he just looks really happy. And I am actually also conscious that I never did put those photos on. So I will put the photos on because they are beautiful photos of him. We've got some gorgeous photos of him. And yeah, I'm going to do that. But yeah, I was really surprised that people mentioned that. And I was really scared to listen to it. But yeah, it was nice because that was when it was fresh in my head.
Yeah.
And I think I've not looked
back. I remember at the end of it, which I had to dart out, sorry, which is when I actually say, and you're saying, you said there was good to the show and there was bad to the show, because that was also the show where you won a 120.
Oh, really?
Because you were the only, you were the only person. And that was your one. That was your good. And then obviously having to retire Manny was your bad. And I was like, nah, both of them was good. Both of it was good because you've done the right thing for your horse. So
yeah.
It's a nice thing. It's nice that people, I think what it is people become, our listeners become quite invested in us and our lives and what we do. So for them, you know, Manny retiring, it's quite a pivotal moment for them as well, because they've been hearing about this horse for how long as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, you know, he's almost like their horse too. So hearing him retire, that's why I think that was so popular, was, you know, their Manny retired.
I think as well, it's always nice, isn't it, when you feel like someone like loves the horse more than the sport. And we talk about that all the time. Mm. And I'm really pleased that I could do that for him, because he deserves it. He's just such a good egg. Not a fan of feathers, though.
Well, they'll be glad when Lord Featherington goes, won't they?
Everyone else likes him. Manny does not. I think he's a little bit like an old man now, Manny, and he just can't be dealing with feathers. Like, shall we play? Whereas Pan, who is only a year younger than Manny, honestly, Pan tires Feathers out. Feathers is like, I'm done now. And Pan's like, come on, surely we should play a bit longer.
Wait till Vince gets there. Feathers won't know what's hitting.
I can't wait.
I can wait. I can. I can. My husband's really excited. He was saying something about, because some friends' kids coming over, and he's like, yeah, they could come and see get the new pony before then. I'm like, I can pick him up then. Like, as the rain pelted down again, I've had to bring the horses in for a night, and I'm like, all right, do we really want to go back to three? No, we do. I've just got to sort it out. We'll have to get a transport company or something, but he's got to come soon.
He's very excited.
I can tell.
Okay, so next one. Oh, this one. A lot of people like this one. This was your lap of honour. So your news.
Well, I think the whole world's seen this now. If they haven't, where have they been?
Yeah, even I've seen it.
Everyone has seen it. Harry Styles has probably seen it. He probably knows. Sure.
I think he's probably on his way to your house now.
So went jumping on Thursday. Decided to just do the same classes again, the 80 and the 90, to consolidate my confidence and just to make sure that I was perfectly happy being back out again. And I came third in the 80, and then I went in and I jumped the 90, and it was a different course build to the time before, and the course build of the time before had been very flowy. It was like a figure of eight course. This time the fences came up on you really, really quickly. So for the 80, I sort of like just really sat back and made sure I rode in quite short the whole way around. In the 90, I thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just let him flow a bit. And we'd gone slightly faster. Here we go faster. I had Oscar with me. And we'd negotiated a price of which actually his tea wasn't part of this price. So I ended up having to buy him his tea. So we're sat eating our chips. We put Vince away. He's a very good boy. He'd had half a packet of polos and lots of kisses. And he knew he was the dog's bollocks. So we were just having our chips. And they did the announcement of the results. And I'd won. Unbelievable. I had won, and it was a mounted prize giving. So at this point, I've got miles where I thought, I'm getting that rosette. You would have to prize that rosette from my cold, dead fingers. I am getting it. So I said, can I go in and do the prize giving on foot? And they said, well, yes, if you want to. I went, yes, I want to. So I went in. I got my rosette put on my sunglasses, and I didn't canter all the way around the arena because quite a big arena and I would have possibly died. So I did a lap of honour on foot, waving my rosette to the cheering crowd.
Do you know what it is?
When I say cheer.
It was fucking epic. Absolutely amazing. Because, like, that's what it's supposed to be about. Do you know what it is? Like, that's what everyone should be doing. Otherwise, what the fuck's the point in doing it?
It was hilarious. Everyone was laughing. I was like, you got to have a laugh, haven't you? And they were like, maybe not quite as much as that, but yeah, it was brilliant. Like, I loved it.
You've made it fun and it's like totally worked. You've won And then also, you're not afraid to be like, this is fucking amazing, I've won. Like,
okay.
And
I know. I was like, saying to everyone when they were like looking at me, I was like, this doesn't very happen very often. So I'm going to milk it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am going to milk it for as much as I can. And I did. I milked it 120%. And I bloody loved every minute. And afterwards, because I put it on my Instagram story that I'd done it, and someone went, was your son not embarrassed? I went, I think he's kind of used to it now. Do you know what I mean? He's like, this has been his life for as long as he can remember.
Were they a new follower?
Must have been to not realise that that's what I'm like all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was. I just had a look. The thing was, whether I'd won or not, I was very pleased with how I ridden. I was pleased with how he jumped. It felt good. It felt fun. So yeah, I was just incredibly, incredibly happy. Anyway, so just winning was. I won a pair of socks as well.
Hey.
True story. I won a pair of socks.
See, that's what you get for not eventing.
To be fair, that was a little unaffiliated 90. I say little. There was quite a lot in it actually. And I probably won a better prize than if I'd won a BE 90. Hey.
She's coming over the dark side. I mean, is it
Story
wrong?
Of my glorious moment.
That I just thought, wouldn't that have been so much better if it had been accompanied by a kazoo?
See, this is the problem. I didn't nurture this talent. And now I have to do these things kazoo-less. Yeah. And like you said, I can't think there's many things that would not be enhanced by a kazoo.
Maybe something like, and we will rock you on the kazoo.
We are champion. Little bit kazoo for you there.
I don't know that I could cope with giving Henry a kazoo.
Well, I think you've got to take him for the team. And I think before, if he wants to come on next week, he needs to take over.
Shall I get him a kazoo for next week? Shall I get him a kazoo for next week and we could give him challenges?
Challenges of songs he can sing.
Yeah.
And like literally, then we can record them and then we can play ourselves doing stuff like, I could be like filling a hay net to him kazooing Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis.
He's a massive fan of timber. I mean, that would be good for you fencing.
Well, yeah. That could work. Absolutely. Yeah. We could get, don't laugh now. What if he gets a recording deal? You could end up with that Oakley much quicker than you thought. I could come and do a poo in the toilet. Fair game.
Honestly.
I could christen the toilet.
If I ever get a nice lorry and you say, I'll say you can just keep walking. Because I don't care whether you might think you just need a wee. I know what's potentially coming.
Then the spy will be going, I'm not clearing that out. Don't be shoving it down the plug hole while you're there.
Oh, I mean, if we ever get a nice lorry, I'm going to have to travel Henry in some sort of a trailer out the back because yeah. I think it's something about the journey. Yes. Yeah. Actually, yeah. If he gets a kazoo, he's going to need to be in a different vehicle anyway. God. Oh, my God. Imagine people will be like, have you seen that trailer? It's the one that it's quite a pungent trailer and very loud and seems to always be playing some sort of music on a kazoo. And be like, yeah.
On a kazoo. Not enough kazoos in the world. We need to bring back the kazoo, I say. Bring back the kazoo. Bring back prize giving on feet.
Yes.
More people need to do it. I do not regret it for a moment. Amazing. One of the best moments of my life. Just put it out there.
I think it needs to be more of a spectacle as well. You know, I think rather than encouraging people to go in on the horses, because people have got to be quite sensible because usually the horses can be a bit silly. And whereas
that's stress.
Yeah, like people on foot, there is, you could be having a little bit of
oh
hip hop
my God.
Dance.
Yeah. Yeah. You could wear like a special outfit for it.
Yeah. I mean,
you could just people running on a sand surface is also quite amusing.
I don't
really
mind maybe a hobby
hard.
Horse. Hobby horse could enhance it.
There we go. Or you could get like, I could have got Oscar and we could have been like a pantomime horse and I could have been the front and he could have been the back.
Yeah. I mean,
I think we need to step up. I'm over Rosette on the Bridal, canter around, yeah. Just some music. I'm over that. Let's make prize givings better.
But I'm definitely over the like, yeah, like I don't really care. Like I am here for the like, this is fucking amazing. Like I want someone to be canting around. Like, did you see what I just did? Like,
I know.
If I ever win a decent class.
They do that shit at badminton. Like, there seems to be like a level where you're allowed to be.
Yeah.
Once you get over a certain level, you're allowed to be really excited and pleased and proud that you've won something. And then sort of like under that level, it's almost like, oh, that's a bit embarrassing. Like I think a lot of people probably thought I was a right twat for getting so overexcited about winning an unaffiliated 90. Next time. I really fucking hate the snobbery, which is almost like you can only start being excited about something over a certain level. Let's do away with that.
Like, I agree so much because, like, to some people, 90 could have been something they've worked for, like, 8 years to get to.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't they be just as happy as the person who's at badminton? Like, I want to see everyone, like, canting around being like, that was fucking incredible. Yeah. I smashed it. If I ever get Bougie round a course of fences...
I was just going to say, to be fair, we're all expecting this when Bougie goes out.
Like, I literally want everyone to stop what they're doing and be like, well done. You have done very, very well. Yeah. And if they don't...
Because we want not just one person playing the kazoo when that happens. We want a whole band of kazoos.
Is it okay if I'm not on him?
Well, we'll put Bougie away first.
Thanks.
You could just be holding him.
Yeah. Like, no, not even... Not even holding them. Can I just have a hobby
ben
horse instead?
Him. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. This one is the Molly voice. It's been ages.
So I didn't actually get you doing the Molly voice.
Oh, okay.
So this was. This is a very brief clip, guys, and a lot of people because you interspersed Molly quite a lot through different episodes. So I didn't know when people said the Molly voice, I didn't know what they meant. Then one of them said about the poodle. And then I remembered you would put a video up on the Facebook page, I think it was, of you on some sort of family walk.
Yeah.
With Henry on Molly. And you were doing Molly's voice. And when you put the video up to show Molly's voice, Ben was walking in front. And that must have been when you'd first announced him being called the poodle. And everyone was commenting, saying, oh, look, it's the poodle. So it was kind of like a double whammy. So this was us talking about this video. And then I thought what we could do maybe is get Katie to give us a little bit of Molly voice just for old time's sake.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't done a Molly voice for so long. So, like, poor Ben, as per usual.
Ben, you're calling your buddy's name Ben now. We all know, okay, that's not his name. What's his name?
Honestly, I think he might divorce me, you know.
Like, oh, my God. It was just, you know, when you expect something to be good, but it's never quite as good as it was. And then it happened. And, like, normally, like, oh, you're looking forward to something and it happened to you. Oh, that was actually a bit shit. I can categorically say that video was not it because... For me, the actual joy was Ben, the poodle, trying to pretend it wasn't happening. And he was like marching off with this dog. And it was just like, oh man. And everyone calling him the poodle was also just this, all these complete strangers. Oh, look, there's the poodle.
Honestly, I think that Ben spends a lot of his life with me just trying to walk ahead and pretend that it's not happening to him. I think that's really how he just lives his life. Poor
well,
Ben.
Well, I have to say the listeners liked it, so well done. And well done, the poodle. They loved it. They loved it. They were all over it.
How cute is Molly as well? Doesn't that voice just so suit her?
Yeah, you got it down. You got it down.
Do you know how sad is this? I'm having to try and practice my Welsh accent because Tinkerbell's obviously Welsh. And my Welsh sounds Indian.
Katie, you want accent advice? Why didn't you contact me? We all know that.
But then she would only be able to say, get off your horse and drink your milk.
This is true.
Quite limiting.
It's a saying. I mean, what more can you want?
Okay, after this, you can coach me on my Welsh accent and try and stop it sounding Indian.
Everyone knows that I'm... Oh, yeah, that does happen a lot with Welsh accents, actually.
It's really hard. All I can say is bumblebee in Welsh. there you go, you see. It was relevant.
That was bumblebee. So it was relevant, the bumblebee. So I did think... Obviously, there is the video. People will be able to find it if they wanted to. But I did think maybe you should just give us a little blast of Molly for old time's sake.
I do. I remember that hack. It's funny how some things, like, you can really vividly remember. And we'd taken... Why the fuck would taken the dog as well? And Rupert is not good on a lead. And... Ben was trying to like drag Rupert along, who was trying to be just like feral. And Henry was like, you're strangling him, you're strangling him. And I think then...
It was very chaotic.
Yeah, and I was like, just, who was I riding? Was I riding a horse? Or was I leading Molly? No, I think I was leading Molly.
You were leading Molly. You were leading Molly.
And so...
Poodle and the dog.
Yeah.
And he was like marching off ahead.
And I was saying, come along, Poodle. That's right. Oh, look at the Labrador. It's desperate to be off the string. No, Poodle, don't let it off the string. It'll run away. Oh, I need a Molly back in my life.
You do.
Miss Molly. Miss Molly. Actually, it was funny. A memory came up on my phone the other day of taking Manny and Molly to the beach together.
Ah!
And I was like, oh, it like... It really hit me because they looked so happy. I'll put that picture on as well, actually. Miss Molly loved the waves. I do enjoy a trip to the beach, Poodle. The sand between your toes.
She did sound a little bit like Mrs. Bouquet, didn't she?
She was very like...
She was based on that, wasn't she? Definitely.
Yeah, I think...
She was very Harriet Bouquet.
Yeah, she was just so lush. I would love another pony for the boys, but they don't really bother. I mean, Seb does, actually. Seb's always on the yard, but not... They never want to ride. Like,
yeah, mine were like that. Mine loves being around horses. They still will. They'll give me a hand with them. They're more than happy out there, even at sort of 18 and 14. Absolutely not bothered about riding whatsoever.
Yeah.
Not bothered at all. But they like horses and they're good with the horses, but...
I think it's for the best. Like, I'm a little bit relieved. I just think it's mental, isn't it? Like, so I'm kind of all about it. So when I do that, then I'm like, what do I want a pony for? But I mean, partly to do that voice, you know? Mm. I mean, I don't know if I ever mentioned on the podcast that when Henry got the lizard, we realised that... leopard geckos come from Afghanistan, and Henry's furious with me because I just do basically Sally the Sausage Dogs, which is kind of like supposed to be German, but I think it might be maybe like sort of a German Russian type, and is nothing like the Afghan accent. And Henry's like, will you just learn? That's Sally's voice. And I'm like, I'm not good at Afghanistani accent. Like, I'm trying my best.
Oh, it's not enough. So when you can play Mozart on a kazoo, then we'll talk, all right?
Because if I told you that he makes me make stories up all the time for him, I have to do these detailed stories.
Yeah, I'm going to be saying.
Yeah.
Oh, they're a nightmare, aren't they?
With all the different bloody accents. And it's like, oh, your Afghani's a bit Russian. Like, fucking, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ, I didn't realize I was putting on fucking Oscar-worthy performance for you at bedtime. Fucking Roald Dahl crossed with Gwyneth Paltrow every night. It's a bit much.
Here we go, yeah.
Anyway, this one is a classic, I think, of us.
So many people. Is this the one I think it is?
Yeah.
Road sign.
Yeah.
So many people nominated this one. And I don't know whether to be proud or ashamed.
We still get so much of those sent in. If ever there's a meme.
Every time someone parts from one, they'll say to me, when can I go back to my car, Scarlett? And I'm like, okay.
It's one of those things, though, isn't it? Where when you know, you're like, yeah, see that. But when you don't, like, I think it's very badly for. I'm going to hold to it. Right, is your wanker of the week the one that you sent me? Please, yeah. It is. Oh my God, thank God. I'm so excited. I need to talk about this.
Other things have happened, but I knew that you wanted me to keep it.
Because the story, like, I have an add on to it. So, yes, go for it.
Okay, it's wanker of the week time. So, I'm about 300 years old and I discovered something the other day. And I was so ashamed about this thing that I immediately voice noted Katie and told her and we just died laughing at my own stupidity. So, you know, it's actually nothing to do with horses either. Yeah, I can be a complete wanker in all aspects of my life. Who would have thought it? So, you know, when you like have a free parking space, and there'll be like a parking space in town and you can park for free for like 2 hours, and then it says free parking 2 hours, and then underneath it says no return within 1 hour. I discovered that I've actually been reading that sign wrong. So I thought that you could park for 2 hours, but you weren't allowed back to your car and to drive away for the first hour. There was no return for 1 hour. You got two free car parks, but no return. I took it as being no return to your car in 1 hour. So
now the really bad thing about this.
I've been in town before now and I've looked at my phone or whatever and gone, oh, I've only been 45 minutes. So I have to go for a coffee because I can't go and move my car yet. I've been an hour. I thought you couldn't return to your car.
And I'm like, your husband ringing you and being like, I need you to come home. Like, there's been an accident. You're like, nah, I can't.
Hang on. That's the thing.
12 minutes.
Now. Like, I thought about it. I thought, like, cause when I told one of my friends as well, I said, I can't believe I've done this all these years. And she just died laughing. And she said, how do you think they policed it? Like, how did they know that you hadn't gone back in an hour? I don't know. I just thought that. And she was like, she lost it. She said, Carla, for like a functioning adult human, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. She wanted me to send it because I think Radio 1, Greg James does a thing called the Fact Controller where you could write in about stupid things that you believe. And she went, you should send that in. I said, no, it's gone on the podcast. If I'm going to make myself look a fool, I want it to go to our regular listeners. Why can't they make the sign a little bit clearer? Free parking for 2 hours, but you can drive off any time you want.
I have a confession, okay? I laughed at you. I laughed at you. And I told Ben the story, hysterically laughing. And Ben said, Katie, do you know what it means? And I said, no, I don't. To be honest with you, I've always wondered myself.
So you didn't know either?
I didn't know. I read it the same way that you read it. But thought, well, how will they know if I come back for my car?
Oh, so you were willing to be break the law.
I broke the law.
You've broken the law.
But thought exactly the same.
All these years.
Thought the same as you.
Oh my God. I knew it. I knew it.
But I thought you were, like, I laughed at you because I thought it was absolute insanity. You would be desperate to get back in your car and want to go somewhere and wouldn't.
I'd get caught by the police or something. Like, they'd, like, arrest me
How dare you move your own jail, mouth?
And they'd be like, I'd end up like with my porridge, and they'd be like, what was your crime? And I'd be like, I went back to my car. Because that's the way my duck goes. I would have got arrested for it. So I thought, no, when I'm uptown, I've only been 45 minutes, I'll go and have a coffee before I go back to my car. But I do know what it means now. So if any of you else, anyone else is always wondering what it means you can park there for 2 hours, but you can't go back to that car parking space or that area within an hour after pulling off.
And when he told me, it made did it just, like, were you the same as me? I was like, oh my god, that makes sense. And he was like, yes.
That's it makes sense, much more sense than not being allowed back to your car for an hour.
I still think they need to put it more clearer.
I love that we both, neither of us spoke for a second, we're both, the looks on our faces, I bet, was identical of just like, I stand by it.
I don't feel I did anything wrong. I like the fact, my favourite bit in that is that was that you thought that was the case, but you were willing to go to prison. You're like, yeah.
I'm not following rules if they're really silly ones. I'm just refused.
Yeah.
There's me. I'll be on the side of the road being pulled over and I'll be like, it's a bad rule. It's my car.
Stupid rule, yeah. I agree. Why would you follow that?
But then imagine
people.
What would have been funnier is if we had returned and they gave us a ticket and we were like, that's not what it means.
I actually argued it. I wonder if anyone ever has got a ticket for returning within the hour.
And then like they've been like, listen, I left my car there for the time it was supposed to be there.
Like I didn't come back till 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm kind
that,
of tempted.
That could happen.
I'm tempted to do that just for the, like, just to see what happens.
To see whether you've got a case when you argue it down, they'll just say, look, that's very, what's the word? Ambiguous phrasing of that sign.
Yeah. It is very poorly phrased.
Taking down the establishment, one parking sign at a time. Definitely.
Okay.
Someone sent me one and it was free parking for an hour, no return within an hour. And they were like, what do you do here, Carla? And I was like, obviously you return on the hour. You've got to be back on the 60 minutes. What's there to argue about?
How some things I genuinely wouldn't read that any other way. It's like, yeah, that makes me giggle because I just think the fact that both our brains work in the same way is really worrying.
Yeah, exactly. We both thought the same. It maybe something that most people, when they discovered, would go, fuck, I feel really stupid. I'm not going to tell anybody that I did this. Not then tell multiple people and the listeners of a podcast. But then I also did, I've told several poo stories. Nothing's off limits with me anymore, I feel.
No.
I feel that I share.
But we're grateful for it. So this is our last one. And this one is, this one one of your favourites as well? This got requested by the listeners, but this is the one that makes you giggle, isn't it?
Yeah, I love this one. This was when we had skin dressage daddy on.
Yeah.
And I think the whole episode was great. So if you've never listened to that episode, do go back. It was a really funny one. And there was lots of, again, revelations and stuff. And then Katie dropped this story on us just right at the end. And I still sometimes, I mean, even though I wasn't there, I sometimes imagine it in my head what happened. And I laugh to myself. You know, we talked about earlier when you do that little laugh to yourself.
Yeah.
I do that. Every time I think about this story, I love this story.
I told this story at his funeral. Did I say that at the time?
No, you didn't. I didn't leave that bit in that he had died. Not as a result of this, you did add. But this story is a great story.
My granny knows that I laugh at totally inappropriate things because I once gave her and my granda two young ponies to hold. And I told them, absolutely, do not let go of these ponies. Because my granny
it can be a bit wet and would have just let go, like, you know, if it sneezed. And we were quite near a road. So I was like, do not let go of these ponies under, you know, any circumstances. So my grander, I probably should have thought it through because he takes an instruction really, really seriously. So anyway, someone let another horse out in a field and started to gallop. So the two ponies kind of, you know, got up on their toes and started to like jump about a bit. So Granny just let go of her pony. So these two ponies were like inseparable. So Granny's pony obviously shot off across the gravel car park. Well, Grander had been told not to let go of this pony. So I heard like a scuffle of like the gravel and stuff. And I came racing out the stable to see, honest to God, my granddad.
Why am I laughing at this? I
can only describe... I can only describe it as levitating. Like, so he'd got swiveled around and he had the rope, but he was completely horizontal in the air. And the pony... pony was just charging at the other pony and he was like scraping like head first on this gravel and I was like, let go, because I honestly thought, like, at this point I was like, he's dead, I've killed him. Screaming,
God, no, I'm not laughing at that.
Let go to him, and eventually he did let go and I went over and I was like, you know, and you do that like, oh fuck, like, is he got serious head trauma or something? So I like inched over.
I love him.
Why did you not let go? And he said, you said don't let go. And I was like, I wasn't expecting this fucking chain of events, so was I? And he got up, my little grander, bless him, and he always used to wear a cap, and he really loved his caps, and he took this white cap off his head and dusted all the crap.
Oh, gravel and blood. Oh my god.
And it was like, I've ruined my cap. And honestly, we got back in the car later. And you know, I would just be sitting there and suddenly just go like it just
what's happened here, correct me if I'm wrong, is I mentioned a bit embarrassing that it can be funny when old people fall over. And what you've done is then tell in great detail a story about old people falling over and then are crying with laughter about it. We could have let it all go. You could have got away with all of that.
Oh my God, though. I hate it when that happens. You know, when you do that thing when you suddenly remember something that's funny and like you're in a public place and stuff and you start laughing, you're like, shh, that's... Is that what it was? Was it your granddad's cat that sent you over?
I did it.
Was he all right? Can we just clarify? Your granddad was okay.
I mean, he was totally fine. And actually, he continued to help me with the horses afterwards, which I think was really foolish on his part.
Did he ever laugh at the situation? Did he ever find it funny?
No.
Or was it one of those where only you did? Yeah,
he had quite a different.
What a different sense of humour. Well, yeah. He kind of didn't find being face planted and dragged across gravel funny. I don't know.
To be fair, it wasn't his face. What a miserable guy. It was the back of his head, which I think.
Miserable bastard.
My granny, she sometimes finds things like that funny, but I think even for her, that was probably a smidge extreme, but not for me.
Step too far.
You know, when your tummy hurts from laughing so much. And actually, any time I told that story, even now, really, yeah, any time I tell that story, it's the same. Like, it makes me hysterical. So funny.
I love it.
Levitating grandad, which is what we call it. So Katie's got all these pieces, the bits, the segments, and I've sent them to her, all with these weird titles. And at one point, I couldn't find it, could I? And I was like, oh no, I can't find Levitating Grandad. And then it was actually in the title of the episode. We found it, so I quickly found it. But Levitating Grandad, one of my favourite stories, because it just came from nowhere. We've been talking about people falling over, and then you just dropped Levitating Grandad in there and his little cap.
I mean, it is.
I still love it.
Yeah, it is one of the best stories of my life, you know. Just absolute like just gold. And I think I probably said it on the pod on that episode, but that my dog had died and I was really sad. And I remember like laughing until it was like I was aching and just saying, this has really cheered me up. Like this was just what I needed.
Oh, bless levitating granddad.
I know, so. Honestly. He was such a good egg. I mean, he wasn't impressed with me for that. I never think he quite understood my sense of humour, but yeah, all the good stories came out like that for his funeral.
Yeah.
I think the congregation were probably like, Jesus, what sort of a grandchild
did you laugh? As you were talking at the funeral, did you laugh as you were telling the story?
I might have.
Oh, can you imagine?
I've never told it without laughing. So.
Well, yes, I can see why, actually, to be fair. It's one of them stories that you can't.
Imagine if I just, like, was doubled at the front laughing and people were like...
At the funeral. Is she all right, Han? Are you all right, Han? Are you all right?
Oh, you know
you're at a funeral, don't you, love?
That was a very good story to finish on. So we're going to finish the episode with... what was supposed to be 100 words. It is absolutely not anything like 100 words.
We weren't great because basically so many got repeated and we didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So we got over like hundreds of responses, but we didn't get 100 separate words.
Now, I know that you are all going to be hugely shocked, but the word that we got overwhelmingly was chaotic.
Yeah, I can kind of see why, especially after listening back to these. I'm trying to get it.
We had a lot of real, which again,
I think maybe sometimes a bit too real, but you know.
And we got a lot of favorite podcast or my fave.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
I did say to someone, are you going to give me a big head? And she said, no, I don't think so or something. And I said, yeah, I think life keeps us both grounded.
We'll think we're doing all right and something will humble us 100%, won't it? You know, so.
We got relatable, authentic, unpredictable. Inspiring. I don't think I've ever been called inspiring. Oh,
they've got no standards if we're inspiring them.
Hilarious, classic, tenacious. They said because we like always battling to overcome odds, whether it be to like record or just to life. We're a tonic, engaging, my saviour, down to earth, comforting, honest, crazy, friendly, funny, spectacular.
Spectacular. That came from one of my friends, and she said that's like spectacular, but fucking better. And I thought, I like that word. I like that word a lot.
So, I mean, yeah, just so many chaotics.
So we're going to get a lot of chaotics. And I'm going to take a moment. First of all, to thank all you listeners that have been involved with this brilliant episode that I've loved. I've loved putting it together. I've loved doing it. And I'm also, I feel like this is the moment that if we were in the same room, I'd like whip out a prize for you, your red rose or something, just to say thank you, Katie, for all of the work you do putting this podcast together every other week, that battling to get it recorded, and then the time you spend editing it and putting it all together. It really is appreciated, not by just me, but all them people that said all those words and sent all those things in. You're a star. You're a star, baby.
Thank you, but you did. Laugh of honour, obviously. You did it all for this episode, to be fair.
For the first time. I kind of felt like I had to because I haven't done anything for so long. And I thought, girl, you need a bit of slack cut in here. I will do this. Even down to finding levitating granddad just before we recorded. So
But yeah, I mean, we're so grateful that we've got really, really lovely people. And I think just, you know, going back a few episodes when we had like some negativity, the positivity was absolutely overwhelming that came.
Like I said, when I was a little bit drunk last episode, I love this podcast now. I love it. And I'm not letting anyone ruin it or take it from me. So you're stuck with me, all of you. Sorry about that.
We just, like, we absolutely... We love having people around us who feel like us. And I think that's what the listeners often when they message will say, like, it's like having my friends on the yard with me. And that's kind of how we feel when you message us, like, funny things.
Yeah.
So I just, thank you so, so much.
And all of you that picking your favourite bits. I know there were so many, lots of you messaged, I think there was car rat and so many things that people messaged about, and I wish we could have done them all.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to keep going and 150th episode, go back again, do some more, I don't know. But we've had a laugh, haven't we? We've had a laugh.
Oh, well, I said that to Carla. I said, when, like, I went back and to look through some, like, episodes for to find things, I was like, Jesus, we've covered some very, like, random
stuff. Very random, isn't it? We've been incredibly random.
It's very erratic podcast, I would say.
Oh, well. Well.
But we absolutely, we love it, and we love all the support that we get. And, like, we feel like we've got our people, I think.
Yes, we've definitely got our tribe.
Yeah.
So, on that beautiful, lovely note.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you for 101. Ooh,
101, baby.
Instead of having Henry, yes.
Should we go back to 101?
Yes,
because that was a popular episode.
Yeah,
but I didn't know what to take from it because people just said the room 101. Room 101. Next episode.
Perfect. Henry's got longer to practice the kazoo. Carla's gonna play us out. All right. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. Bye.